Actually, Genesis chapter 21. We already did Genesis chapter 20. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham. We've seen of how he's established a relationship with God, a friendship with him. And we saw last week of how being a friend with God, that he began to have a significant ministry as an intercessor, someone that would pray to God on others' behalf. And the Lord blessed him for that. And we understand that we can intercede for others if we do have a strong relationship with the Lord. But we see in Genesis chapter 21 that quite significant that this is when the promise that he has been waiting for, his answer to prayer, has finally come. That it took a long time, that it was something that for a while he almost doubted it. He thought, well, how would it be possible? But the Lord said, no, you will have a son, and his name will be Isaac, which means laughter. And it was because with Abraham that he had laughed when God said that, and so God told him to name him so he would always remember that he had laughed, and it happened just as God said. And we see that in Hebrews 11. It says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, as to many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. And so we see that in Genesis 21. It says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And so we see that God kept his word, that God was faithful, that this had taken many years, and that's something that we recognize with prayer, that just because we don't get an answer right away does not mean God has not heard it. It does not mean that he has ignored it. It's just that his timetable is very different than ours. And God was going to fulfill it, and it was part of what drew them together, God and Abraham, was just that longing, that promise of what was to come, and the Lord blessed. And it's something that we can always be so thankful for when we look back to answers of prayer. Some are big answers to prayer when we have a big crisis or we have a great need and God meets it. Sometimes it can just be the little things that God answers, and I think it's wise for us. I know with some that they've kept a prayer journal of prayers that they have made, and then they have in that same journal when it was answered, and it's a testimony to Lord's faithfulness, that a person can read that and see how things we pray. And that's the thought. Sometimes we think when we pray, well, we prayed, but it kind of, God didn't hear it, or God just kind of ignored it. But the thing is, if we have a relationship with him, he has heard it, and he's going to bring the answer. It may not be exactly the answer we think he will give. It won't necessarily be in the time we think that he will give it, but we trust that he will give it to us in his time and according to his wisdom. So then we see that the Lord has blessed them, and Isaac grew. He was weaned. They made a feast, and they saw Ishmael mocking Isaac. And so Sarah said to him, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And we see that the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. But the Lord speaks to him. He says, God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the land, because of thy bondwoman, in that all that Sarah said unto thee, hearken unto her voice, for in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And so we see with that this was a difficult decision to make, that Ishmael was his flesh and blood, that he cared for him, but we understand that it was not God's plan, it was not God's way, that he was to have a child by Hagar, that he had made a mistake, and that Isaac was the one whom the seed would be called, through whom the blessings would come upon the whole world. And we understand that it was through Isaac's seed that Jesus Christ came. And so the Lord gave him this peace, gave him this promise that he was going to take care of it. And we see that, God's faithfulness in that she went with her child, she wandered in the wilderness, ran out of water, and she cast her child under one of the shrubs, and she didn't want to see the death of the child. But God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. And we see that God kept his promise even in this with Abraham, that he said he would make a nation of this child, and he did. And so we see as well that as it continues, that he's dealing with Abimelech, in whose land he is sojourning, that there was a struggle between Abraham's servants and Abimelech's servants. Abraham had dug some wells, which were essential to the provision of his flocks and his herds. But sadly, the way it was is that he did all the work, and then these ones came and tried to take it away. But it was unknown to Abimelech. It wasn't done with his acquiescence. And so we see that between the two of them, that they made a covenant, and they dig this well, and they call that place Beersheba, and it's a well of the seven oaths that is in the southernmost part of what we consider to be the promised land. And they made a covenant together, and then Abimelech departed. And then we see again, verse 33 of that chapter says, and Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And again, that this has been his pattern, that as he comes to a place, as he sees God's blessing, that he establishes an altar, a grove, and he prays unto the Lord. He calls upon his name. He communes with him. That in his time of sojourning, that's continually what he remembers to do, to speak to the Lord. And that's what we need to do in our daily lives, that we remember to call on the name of the Lord. Not just when we're in trouble, but when he's done something great for us, we can be thankful for him, that we can just praise his name and thank him for his provision. But then we see in chapter 22, there's a test of Abraham. That we think of it that so often when we consider about prayer, our focus is that we have needs, and we have desires, and we want God to meet those. But we need to recognize that if we're having a relationship with God, that as we ask things of Him, that there may come a time that He may ask things of us. And our response is demonstrative of the strength of our relationship, strength of our faithfulness. And we see this challenge, and you think of it from the Lord's perspective, that he's developed this relationship with Abraham, but and of course he knows Abraham's heart. But he wanted to prove him. He wanted to demonstrate his faithfulness to the world. And so he puts this test before him. Because Abraham had been serving him for many years, had been praying unto him, been following him. But it was always because, it always was the thought, well, he was waiting for God to keep his word. He was waiting for this son to be born, through whom the promises would be given. And so the thought could be, well, he just followed the Lord just to get that. And that was the most important thing to him. And so with this request we see the Lord, he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That God basically made him choose, that you have to decide who you love the most. I know that you love your son Isaac, but do you love him more than me? And so he commands him to go and offer his son as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of Moriah. And so we see that it would be a hard thing. It would not make a lot of sense. And that sometimes we find that as the Lord leads, we get peace about something, we get his direction. It doesn't always make a lot of sense to us, but we realize God's ways are higher than ours. And so it's someone that we need to trust him. And we see with Abraham that he had a faith in this, that he didn't quite understand it, but he realized, well, Lord was going to make something work out. It says in Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And we think of that he thought it through, and he said, well, okay, well, if the Lord wants me to do that, then he's going to have to raise him up from the dead afterwards, because he promised that I would have a seed through Isaac that would be as the stars in heaven for multitude. And so we see that he doesn't question God. He rests upon God's promises. That even though it didn't make sense, he knew, in Isaac shall my seed be called. He has to be alive in order for him to fulfill his word. So I'm going to trust him. And we see the pattern of Abraham. And this has been the case again and again when the Lord gave him, told him to go to a land that he would show him. We see that he obeyed. We remember that when he gave him the covenant of circumcision, that he arose straight away and he performed circumcision upon himself and his whole household. We see that when the Lord gave him the direction to send Ishmael and Hagar away, that he rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar. And we see also in Genesis 22, verse 3, it says, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And so we see that he didn't procrastinate. He didn't try to make excuses. He didn't delay. As soon as he was able to, he started off on his journey. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. And that is what the Lord desires of us, that we would have that relationship with him, that we would be close to him, we would do what he asks of us to do. And so and we see his faith in verse 5. It says, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. That he had this faith that Isaac was going to be coming back with him, even though he didn't understand. And of course, Isaac was a little confused, and he said, well, my father, he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And so we understand that God would provide a lamb, that he didn't quite understand it all, Even in the phrasing that he used there, that he doesn't say that God himself will provide a lamb. It says God will provide himself a lamb. And we understand that, that in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God provided himself as a lamb to take away our sins. And so we see that he did what the Lord asked him to do. He laid the wood in order. He bound his son, laid him on the altar. And he stretched forth his hand. He took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." That it was, he was so intent on doing what the Lord asked him to do, he didn't understand it. It didn't make a lot of sense. But he knew that he had to do that. That when it came to the decision, did he love, who did he love more, God or his son? And he chose wisely. He chose God. And we see the Lord said, "Lay not thine hand on the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And we see that God had provided a substitute, this ram that was caught in a thicket by his horns. And he offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And of course we know the picture of this, of how Abraham offered up his son for the Lord, willing to do that. And the Lord provided a substitute. We understand that because God so loved us, that he gave his son for us as our substitute so that we could be saved. And so this was a place that he called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. And it was a place of a testament of God's faithfulness, that the Lord would see things through. And we see God's promise for him, that he had promised blessing upon him. He knew the decisions that he would make, that he would guide his family and his household properly, that they would inherit the blessings. But we see this, that because he obeyed his voice, that the Lord would bring these blessings upon him. "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And we recognize that, that God always blesses obedience. That if we want to be blessed of God, we need to obey his voice. If we want to be close to him, we need to do what he asks us to do. That if we truly want to have a strong relationship with him in prayer, have power in prayer, then it's essentially that we must walk with him, just as with Enoch, that he walked with God. That there's a continual reliance upon the word of God, that we do not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we do what the Lord asks us to do, and when we do that, the Lord blesses. So then we see, as it gets toward the end of his life, that Sarah passes from this world. He finds a place for her to be buried. And we see Genesis chapter 24 that he sends his servant back to his homeland to find a bride for Isaac. And we see in verse 7, it says, this is what Abraham speaks to his servant. It says, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." And we get this, the understanding, the sense that that he was going to be faithful to the Lord, that the Lord had brought him there, the Lord had directed his life, unto his seed would he give this land, and he knew that there to be a peculiar people, a special people set apart for the Lord, and so he wasn't going to, he was a stranger and pilgrim in the world, he wasn't going to marry in amongst the Canaanites, that he knew that he had to be faithful in what the Lord commanded in that. And so, as the Lord had directed him and blessed him, so he continued to do what the Lord would have him to do. And so we see that as he directed his servant, the servant sought the Lord's guidance. He found Rebekah and brought him back, and Isaac and Rebekah were married. And so we see that that as Abraham has been faithful, that the Lord has fulfilled his promise of Isaac, and then we know that in Isaac would his seed be called, and that now he is married, and so there will be children born. And from this one who was as good as dead rose as many as the stars in heaven for multitude. And through Isaac, the one seed that we understand more prominent than all the others is the Messiah, the one who would come, the bruised head of the serpent, the one who would provide for salvation for us all. And we see in chapter 25 that he took a wife again, that he bare different children, and he gave them different gifts. But we see verse 5, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, that God had said in Isaac would his seed be called, and so he delivered unto him the he passed down to him the role of patriarch and head of the family. And we see that the days, the years of Abraham's life, which he lived, 115 years, then Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And so we see with Abraham's life that it was a long life. It was a life well spent. It was a life that was spent in relationship with God and a closeness with him. And as it speaks of, that God referred to him as his friend. And so as we consider it in the aspect of prayer, that prayer is more than just asking and finding a way to get our prayers answered. It's having a relationship with the God of heaven and earth, that he knows us and we know him, that we ask things of him, but he asks things of us, and that we are faithful to him, and he will always be faithful to us. And with any relationship, the more we put in, the more we get out. And so as we seek to be men of prayer, may the Lord bless in that, that we would seek to be a friend with God, to follow him in obedience immediately with the right heart attitude, so that he can bless us as he so desires.